Answers Magazine, Volume 10.2, Page 11. Perspective. Skin or Sin? Twice last year, grand juries in different U.S. cities decided not to indict police officers in the separate shooting deaths of young black men. Since then, Bible-believing church leaders of various ethnic backgrounds have urged churches to examine the country's racial divides. One such leader is Pastor Frederick Boyd, who leads an inner-city ministry in South Indianapolis. Boyd has been a keen observer of racial conflict in America. Careful not to use evolution-laden terms like race, this pastor, who prefers not to be identified as African-American or be called black, confidently declares that we are all of one blood, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and that there is only one race of people, the human race. He notes that people of dark skin have endured hundreds of years of injustice in the United States, and that even though the United States has made much progress since the 1960s, it is still not a post-racial nation. In support of that contention, he points to his own experiences of driving while black, a popular expression for people with dark skin being pulled over for no legal reason. It grieves Pastor Boyd that in the aftermath of the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, violence and looting filled his TV screen. He acknowledged that we may never know exactly what happened in this suburb of St. Louis that night, but we can still learn from it. He echoed the well-publicized observation NFL player Benjamin Watson posted on Facebook, that in order to bring about true racial reconciliation, people need to understand the problem is more about sin than skin. Sin causes racist attitudes, argues Boyd, but God has provided a remedy through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ can break down the barriers that help maintain racial divides. Pastor Boyd believes that understanding we are all of one blood, a biblical truth confirmed by modern genetics, Christians should be leading the effort for racial reconciliation.
Supreme Court weighing in on gay marriage. The U.S. Supreme Court announced in January that it would settle the battle over same-sex marriage this year. Oral arguments will take place in April, with a decision from the High Court to follow by June. According to the Washington Post, the justices have asked the parties to address two key issues: whether the Constitution requires states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, and whether states must recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states where they are legal. The Supreme Court was asked to weigh in once before, but declined to do so. What spurred the justices' change of heart? This can likely be attributed to a Cincinnati appeals court upholding bans in Tennessee, Ohio, Michigan, and Kentucky. The court's decision came as a surprise to many on both sides of the issue. To date, 36 states and the District of Columbia have legalized gay marriage, a leap from the 9 states that allowed the practice in 2012. After the High Court made a series of rulings in favor of same-sex unions, legalization spread rapidly across the U.S. Assuming the justices vote as predicted, 4 opposed and 4 in favor, the final decision will likely rest with Justice Anthony Kennedy. He already has a history of advancing gay rights from the bench, so it is likely he will vote in favor of same-sex marriage. Moreover, the current justices set a precedent of not protecting states' rights to make and uphold laws when they allowed a California ban originally put in place by statewide voter referenda to be overturned by a lower court. Events like this are, of course, no surprise to the sovereign creator of the universe. Ultimately, God has our rulers' hearts in His hand, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. We can be confident that no matter how the Supreme Court rules, our Heavenly Father continues to rule and reign and will do as He pleases.
The Bible and BioLogos. With millions of dollars of grant money from the John Templeton Foundation, BioLogos, a think tank that advocates God-directed evolution, has greatly expanded its programs to present an evolutionary understanding of God's creation. As part of its Evolution and Christian Faith campaign, the organization is donating money to churches, parachurch groups, and academics to promote evolutionary teaching. So far, the organization has given grants ranging from $23,000 to $300,000 to 37 individuals and teams. BioLogos seeks to invite the church and the world to see the harmony between science and biblical faith. But in practice, those high-sounding words mean reinterpreting clear scripture to line up with flawed human understanding. BioLogos has already infiltrated several Bible colleges and seminaries. With so many respected leaders promoting this view, such as Francis Collins, who directed the Human Genome Project, should we be surprised to see pulpits being filled with pastors who are teaching Genesis as myth and promoting evolution as truth? The results are disastrous. Many young people can see how the Bible's integrity is undermined when pastors try to reconcile the book of Genesis with evolutionary science. Sadly, by elevating man's fallible reasoning over God's word, organizations like BioLogos are likely to convince listeners to reject the Christian faith.
Kitty Kinds. The first high-quality sequence of the cat genome has yielded some answers to why cats, master predators, condescend to grace ordinary human beings with their companionship. Researchers who compared the DNA of household cats to wild cats found that domestic cats have 13 genes whose variants, or alleles, are different from those in wild cats. One difference, for example, gives domestic cats a keener memory. To be comfortable with human beings, domestic animals have to overcome their natural fear of people, which Genesis chapter 9, verse 2 says God instilled in them after the flood. They also have to develop other behavioral capabilities, such as the ability to learn new behaviors to earn food rewards. Evolutionary researchers believe cats first contacted humans when we began farming, around 10,000 years ago by their proposed timeline. The cats came in search of the mice that invaded grain stores. Humans recognized the benefits of having cats around, so they began to feed them. Cats that were predisposed to being domesticated stayed, and their descendants adapted further. Actually, aside from the time scale and the idea that humans were not farmers from the beginning, this scenario of cat domestication is reasonable, and the genetic differences support the interpretation that cat domestication is very recent. However, nothing about this cat study supports molecules-to-man evolution, because the mechanisms for domestication were already programmed into cats. Thanks to the genetic information God put into the original cats, they are able to vary greatly, but only within the cat kind. This is what biologists actually observe. Furthermore, nothing in the fossil record suggests the cat family evolved from some other kind of animal.
Grounds for re-evaluation. The fossil of a creature resembling a groundhog that lived during the time of dinosaurs has become an anomaly for evolutionists in their attempt to reconstruct the history of mammals. The fossil skull of Vintana sertici was found in Madagascar in a large block of sandstone, along with many fossilized fish, and was given a supposed age of 66 to 72 million years. The extinct rodent-like creature displayed some mammalian traits that are primitive by evolutionary standards. That is, its skull resembled those of multituberculates, a diverse group of rodent-like mammals found in Cretaceous layers that evolutionary scientists consider primitive. But the rodent's bone structure also gives evidence that it possessed characteristics that were more advanced than expected. For example, it apparently had high-frequency hearing and a keen sense of smell. Vintana is prompting further adjustments to the ever-changing evolutionary story of mammalian development. To explain such advanced traits, researchers are pushing their timeline of mammalian history back a few million years to give more time for Vintana's odd mix of traits to develop. The need to revise their theories does not bother evolutionary researchers. They're so convinced of their worldview that stunning discoveries like this one do not cause them to rethink their assumptions. Biblical creationists have infinitely more reason to feel secure in their worldview. We rely on the ultimate authority, the Word of God, rather than people's ideas about the past. even when the correct creation interpretation is not immediately clear. We can be excited about each new discovery because it provides clues to teach us more about our Creator. As for Ventana, we know that God designed animals to live together in unique environments in the pre-flood world that don't always resemble environments found today. Ventana's unique mix of traits was likely just what it needed to thrive in the place God made it for. This particular specimen died in the catastrophic global flood, which befell the earth about 4,350 years ago, and was memorialized in stone. Representatives of the Ventana kind were preserved on Noah's Ark, but the creature apparently became extinct sometime after the flood. The creation flood model makes sense of the evidence.